Isaiah, the 38th chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Let us begin reading at verse number 17. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee, they that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. Now listen to what he says. The living, he shall praise thee, as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. Let's pray. Father, again thanking you today for your wonderful, wonderful grace. Thank you for the privilege it is to serve you. Thank you, Father, for the fathers that are here today, and Lord, certainly each and every one that has come to be in this place today. And we trust that the things that we've already done has pleased you, Lord, and as we've sang songs and prayed and give and all of those things that we do, we trust they was pleasing unto you. And now, Father, through the preaching of the word, this preacher needs your power. I need your wisdom. We just need you today, and God, help us to do the will of God. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Going to bring a message to fathers today, and I want to talk to them about being an example. The truth of the Word of God, the Bible says in our text, should be taken to the children by the fathers. I think it's our duty to give forth to our children the truths of God's Word. God has given that to us as leadership in the home, as those that is placed by God as head of the home. He expects us to step up and be the leaders that we need to be and to take forth the truth of the Word of God to our children. That's scripture. That's the way it is. It's what God expects. We know that out here we've got a very imperfect people, including the pastor, and we preach to you and myself a very perfect Word of God. And what I want to do today is to bring to you some things that I believe that men ought to be examples of in the home. We'll find throughout the scripture, we'll find different men who maybe did that maybe better than other men. I mean, I'm probably going to mention some that was the example, manly example. I am convinced that one of the greatest needs in America is manly examples. Believe that with all of my heart. Men that'll just step up to the bat and be men. Just be men. And do the job that God is has given them to do. So this morning we're going to preach a message just entitled, Fathers, Be an Example. Amen. You share with me, you just bear with me here for just a little while. Let me be a blessing. This is not going to be some deep theological message. I don't usually preach deep theological messages. I preach simple messages that I think that will touch the heart of God's people. And I think that's what's needed. I don't need to put the food up here where giraffes can reach it. I need to put it down here where everybody can reach it, including the giraffes. The Word of God needs to be simple. Needs to be plain, preached in a way that everybody can understand. And so I just want to share some things with you this morning. I believe that men should be example of prayer in their homes. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on each one of these, I'm telling you, men, we are in a place where we have got to start praying. We got to pray for our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. Got to pray for our church. Got to pray for the pastor. Pray for the deacons. Pray for the other brethren in the church. We've got to get back to praying. And I certainly don't know how much you pray, but I know this. The Apostle Paul was a prayer warrior. Apostle Paul, first of all, knew the person of prayer. He knew it who he was praying to. You've heard me say this many times. It's not our prayers, but the God who answers prayers that's important. Now, he tells us to pray, and we should pray, but we don't get the credit for it. God, who answers the prayer, gets the credit for it. He tells us to pray, and that's what we should do. That's what we're supposed to do, because that's what His Word tells us to do, and we should do that, and we should get busy about praying, and we should spend time on our knees in prayer for our families. Families are falling apart. Children are going astray. And we need to get on our knees, and fathers, especially our own children, our own grandchildren, our own great-grandchildren, on down the line, we got to get a hold of this and start praying. We got to ask God to do something for us. So Paul was a man who knew the person of prayer, and he knew how to pray. You read his prayers in the Bible, and you find that he, like our Lord, knew how to pray. We need to know how to pray. It's not just the lay me down to sleep prayers. It's getting a hold of God, prayer and supplication unto God, getting a hold of God and telling God what our requests are. Amen. So you see, he knew how to pray, and he also depended on prayer. If you read through the scriptures, Apostle Paul prayed for churches. He prayed for people, but he also expected them to pray for him. His dependence was on them praying for him. I told our Sunday school class this morning, I think it was on Friday, that I got a call from Costa Rica, John Neal. You remember John Neal, the evangelist, you know, and he just simply said, "Brother Ross, you've been on my heart this week, and I called to tell you I'm praying for you." You know that'll get you down the road a long way. That'll help you. Yeah, it will. See, somebody's heart was touched, and they prayed for me. Sister Eileen this morning, I walked over here to the piano as I used to do and say, "Good morning, Sister Eileen." She said, "Hey, I've been praying for you this week." I don't think she said "hey," but she said, "I've been praying for you this week." She said, "I've been praying for you this week." She said, "You've been on my heart and I've been praying for you." I appreciate that. Seriously, I depend on prayer. I need people praying for me. And now, do I think them's the only two? No, I think there's many in this congregation that prayed for me this year, this week. I'm sure of that. And I thank God for that, because I depend on prayer. I need prayer. Sister Carol Allheiser was up at the hospital there, at Riley Hospital, with her daughter Christina. Donna and I visited her yesterday, I guess it was, yesterday. And here's what she said about prayer. She said, "You know, in the midst of all of the things that I'm going through, and the details I have to take care of, I'm just glad people are praying." She said, "It makes me feel good to know that the people of our church is praying for me, because I'm so busy doing some of these other things that I don't have much time to pray." And I said, "That's right." "Well, that's right." Why? We need to pray for each other. We depend on prayer. I can't say that enough to you. Realize the importance of prayer. Amen. And men, please pray for your children. Please pray for those that are yours. Amen, daddies. Get a hold of this prayer thing. Right. Amen. And as Paul, the great example, was, he was a prayer warrior. He prayed. Please pray for yours. Amen. See, I'm praying. You're going to laugh at this, but I'm praying for my great-grandchildren already. Now, I don't have any yet, but I'm praying for them. I'm praying ahead for them. I'm asking God to save their souls just as soon as they can get old enough to get saved, and protect them and take care of them and all the things you do, you know, when you pray for them. I'm praying for them already, you see. But I've got grandchildren I pray for. I've got children I pray for. Amen? Sure. And then he says, so you should be example of prayer. Not only that, we fathers ought to be example of obedience. Listen, fathers, listen to me, okay? We'll say to our children sometime, we'll say, you just ought to be obedient. You ought to do what I say. And then we don't do what God says. Now, what kind of a picture are they going to get? How do you expect your children to be obedient when they see you disobeying God? Isn't that true? I'm not trying to be mean, man. I'm trying to tell you the truth. We've got to obey God. We've got to be obedient before our children, for our families. We've got to be an example of obedience to the Word of God. Amen? See, Joshua was that way. I like Joshua. Most of you like Joshua, I think. Joshua was a great man of God. I like to read about these fellows. Joshua was told by the Lord to go over him and Caleb and spy. Of course, there was 10 other ones. Spy on the lands. Check it out. See what was going on over there. They went over, and old Joshua and Caleb came back and said, God, we can take it. Told the people of Israel, we can take the land. The other 10 said, no, we can't. We're not going to go over there. They're big giants over there. We can't do it. Yeah, but Joshua said, God said we could take it. See, he's obedient. That's what needed is needed in the lives of God's people. Fathers, we need to be obedient to God Almighty like Joshua was. You understand that? You see, when he came down to the River Jordan, got ready to cross the river, he was obedient, done exactly what he was supposed to do. Just exactly, the priests went in, you know, and the river parted, you know, and Joshua went across. Why? He's obedient to God. Then he went over to Jericho, and what did he do? Well, he marched around that city. Amen. Yeah, he just marched, done it every time, every day, and exactly the same amount of the right amount of times every time God said, one time or six times or seven times around that city. He just simply done it. Why? Because he was obedient to the Lord God. And I'm saying to you, children need to see daddies being obedient to the Word of God. They don't have to need to understand why you're doing it. You're just doing it because you're obedient to the Lord. In other words, they don't need to understand what needs to be done, but they need to know that you're obedient to God and you're doing it. Daddies, please be obedient to the Lord. Where would Jesus? I ask people this sometimes. Don't go to church much. I said, well, if you ask Jesus, you say he's your Savior, where you should be Sunday, what do you think he would say? I mean, in all seriousness, where do you think Jesus would say you should be on Sunday? Amen. And then we find all kinds of reasons why we don't do this and that. You see, be obedient. Set an example of obedience to the Word of God, fathers. Amen. Set that for your children. They're going to need that example. They're going to look to that down through their life. They got to establish some things in their life. Amen. So be obedient. To the Word of God, just like Joshua was obedient. Not only that, fathers ought to set the example of purity. Now, will you hear me a minute? And I think Joseph is one of the great, great examples in the Bible of purity. Don't you? Joseph, you see, he fled, went into that Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife, you know, got after him and all those things. But he fled and he run, he left. Why? Because he was an example of purity. We need in the lives of God's people, we need in the lives of fathers today to be pure. Walk in pureness. Your children need to see that. They need to grow up seeing a daddy that's been faithful. Grow up seeing a mama that's been faithful. They need to see those things. You understand? Sets a great example, you see, for them. He also was one who exchanged kindness for hatred. There he was with his brothers. His brothers hated him, despised him, sold him into slavery. And yet we turn right around and he was good to them at the last. And God rewarded him for that at the last there. I'm saying to you, don't you understand? We need to learn how to be the right kind of people. Let's don't put hatred for hatred. Let's put kindness for hatred. Be the right kind of people. Amen. Set that example in front of your children. Set the example of purity in front of your children. Amen. And then also, we need to be examples of patience, like Job was. Job was a great man of patience. I look back on his life, it's amazing. Don't you like to read about Job? I don't read you or not, but I love to read about you. Go back here and look at what he went through. I go back here and I see that he lost his family, all 10 of them. Everybody except his wife. And he didn't blame God for it. Oh, I'm going to tell you, that's difficult. Amen. Some of you has lost children here. Brother Klein and Sister Darla there, they've lost children. I've never heard of them blaming God for it. It's not God's. No, he's not blaming God. But it's hard. It's difficult. This man lost 10 children. I can't imagine standing before 10 caskets. I just can't imagine that. That's. You understand what I'm saying? But he didn't blame God. He was patient through all of his trials. He lost his livelihood, the way he would make a living. It is all gone in a short period of time. Folks, what if we lost our jobs, lost our houses, lost all those things it had? What would we do? How would we respond? But Job still did not blame God. I'm saying to you, men, fathers, we need to learn how to be patient before the Lord. Get a hold of God and talk to Him about it, but be patient. Wait on the Lord. And show forth this patience before your children and your family. He lost his health. Sores, top of his head, down to the bottom of his feet. Sat and scraped himself with a potsherd. Just scraped himself. I mean, he was a sick man. But he didn't blame God. Understand? Do you hear me? See, we hear a lot of complaining today in Christianity. God's not doing me right. Yes, He is. God never does wrong. God's always good. Ever done it? I tell God that maybe not every day, but many times a week I talk to the Lord and tell Him, You are good. And whatever You've done in my life, You are good. You always will be. You'll never be anything else but good. As Bob Hamlin says, I'm getting a lot better than I deserve. I ask Bob all the time, I say, how you doing? I do it so I can hear him. He says, oh, I'm doing better than I deserve. Every time he answers that way. That's true. We're all doing better than we deserve. Amen. And Job here was patient. Men, we need to be patient in the hard things of life. There's going to be hard times come, difficult times come in our life. That's part of life. It's part of God's plan for our life. And we need to be patient and walk with God during those difficult times. Amen? I know it isn't easy. I'm not saying it's easy, but I say walk with God. Be patient. Why? So you can train your young people, your children growing up, to be patient when the difficulties come. You don't know what's coming in their life. You just don't know. We don't know. I don't know what's coming, Taylor, in your life. I don't have no idea. No, I don't. I can't tell Tim and Angie what's coming in Taylor's life. I don't know. But teach him, train him to be patient during those times. Amen. Difficult times. Then we find also that I believe fathers ought to be an example of faith, like Abraham. Abraham was called of God to come out of the land of Ur, of the Chaldeans, not knowing where he was going. But by faith he left. He went to Canaan land because God led him and directed him. But he left. Why? By faith he left. We need a bunch of fathers that just walk by faith every day. You just walk by faith. See, that's what Abraham was known for, was faith. He was a great man of faith. Amen. And then also, we find he offered up Isaac. You remember that. I don't know if you ever try to put yourself in that position, but I do. I try to put myself in a position and I say, just imagine walking up on that mountain that day. There's the wood you're carrying and all the fire ready to burn that wood and all those things. And he knew he was going up there and lay Isaac on that altar. Folks, imagine that. That's his son, his only son. Why did he do that? By faith. Faith in God. See, he believed God. What I'm saying is, I believe one of the greatest needs, again, is for our children to see us walk in faith. Take steps of faith. Why? Because God's God. Amen? And fathers, we need so much to set an example for our children, seeing us walk in faith, taking steps of faith, sharing with them what you're doing and why you're doing it. You're walking in faith. And you'll produce children of faith. Amen? So I say to you, folks, we fathers need to set some examples. Amen? Then also, we fathers need to set an example in making decisions. Moses made some decisions. We need to have discernment, spiritual discernment. We need to get a hold of the Word of God and make decisions according to what God wants for our life, what He's directed for our life. Moses was like that. The Bible says he chose against being Pharaoh's daughter's son. He could have been Pharaoh's daughter's son on up for time going on and on and on. But he chose against that. He decided he was an Israelite and he was going to walk in the ways of the Israelites. And he chose. And what that would have meant to him, only God knows for sure. But I'm saying to you, it would have meant probably great fame, probably a great position. But Moses made a decision not to go that direction. I'm convinced we need to get back, fathers, to making decisions because it's God's will for our life, not because it's monetarily blessings. Amen? We need to, as Moses did, he chose against the pleasures of sin for a season. Don't we understand something? Sin is just for a season. Just a short time. It's just for a short, and then comes eternity. Then comes the rest of your life and eternity. Don't we understand that Moses chose the right way. I'm saying to fathers, choose the right way. Choose the godly way. Don't choose the way of sin for a little while. Amen? No. Let's choose God's way. Set an example before your children that you're going to choose the right way. You're going to choose the God way for the rest of your life. Not only that, he chose even against the treasures of Egypt. When he walked away from Egypt, he walked away from the treasures of Egypt. Become a herdsman on the backside of the desert. He could have probably been very, very rich. Fathers, riches are not worth it when it turns you against godliness. What I'm saying to you folks, listen, set an example for your children. How are they going to know what's right and wrong? How are they going to know what direction to go, what decision to make? How are they going to? They're going to see it through the examples that we give them. What's important in our life? And so Moses was a man who made decisions right. I'm saying with the bottom of my heart, folks, listen, your children, my children need to see us making decisions according to the Word of God, according to what's right in God's eyes, instead of what's better for us, what's more monetarily blessings. Amen. We know also that fathers should be examples of vision. I believe that every father ought to have a vision. And as Noah did, he had a vision of the perishing world. He was given that by God Almighty. And I believe something. I believe that we fathers ought to have a concern and a vision for the lost. If our children don't see it in us, they're probably not going to see it, period. Ask yourself this, Father. Why do we not have a vision about the lost, about those who know not Christ? Here's what Hebrews 11 said. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, he said, of things not yet as seen, moved with fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his house. What did he do? He was warned of God. We've been warned of God. The Word of God is here. We know what it is. We know what the warning is. People are going to hell without Christ. True? We've been warned. We understand the Bible. We know what that's all about. We know without Christ, people are going to go into a devil's hell forever and ever. We know that. We understand that. And he said he was warned of God, but he moved with fear. He had the fear of God in him. And he moved with fear, and he prepared an ark for the saving of his family. Folks, your children, my grandchildren, your grandchildren is going to have to see a desire to see people saved probably before they're going to have much one. They're going to have to hear it in the home. They're going to have to hear it talked about. They're going to have to hear you being worried about a bus route or somebody else or witnessing on Saturday or whatever it might be of getting people saved. They're going to have to hear it from us to really get a burden themselves. And I'm saying to you and to I, we've got to be an example of a seeing, a vision of a perishing world. And it is perishing. Concern. You say, Brother Ross, there's a, I can't do this and I can't do that. You can do something. You've decided not to, but you can do something. There's some way for you to witness. There's some way for you to get the gospel out. May not be the same way I do it, but there's some way for you to do it. Amen. Don't you agree with that? Amen. You see, we need to have a vision for a perishing world out there that's lost and going to hell. There needs to be a vision so our children can see that vision. Amen. You see, Noah's vision brought him safety. Noah was saved, and not only him, his own self, but his family. I'm saying to you, if you read through the Bible, you'll find over and over and over places where when a person got saved, the family, the household was saved. That wasn't because it's just a community thing. It was because they got a concern and they wanted their family saved. Please, I've asked of you before, there is no one going to love your family like you do. Now, I might care about your family, and I think other people in here care about your family, but there's no one going to care about them like you do. No one. So we've got to get a vision of a lost and dying world, and we've got to set an example for that. We've got to let our children see that in us. Now, I want to appeal to you, men. Please, please, fathers, men, take the leadership of your home. That's where God puts you. Amen. See, some people would be scared to say yes because their wife's going to kill him when they get home. That's the problem. God has put you in leadership. Not some dictatorial, hateful leadership, but leadership that says, I want to lead my family in the ways of the Lord. I want to do right. I want my family to walk in the things of God. Take the leadership of your home and be a leader. Please, please do that for your family's sake. You know what I've seen down through years? Let me testify a moment. What I've seen down through years is where women led in the home, their children do the same thing. Where the women have led in the home, the girls that's born in that home do the very same thing. Why? They've seen the example of it. Example's been set. Okay? I'm saying to you, fathers, in God's love, lead your home. Why is it? And I'm telling you, as preachers tell me this, a lot of churches, all you see in a church is women. Now, you know why? Because women are servants. No, they are. They're servants. They know they ought to do, and they want to do, and they have a heart to do. But men, many times, are stubborn. Don't want to step up and be the leader. Oh, they might want to be the leader in telling somebody what to do, but when it comes to spiritual things, they don't want to be the leader. I'm saying to you, men, we need to be the leadership in the home. In a godly, right way. I challenge you to do that. Let me challenge you also something else, fathers, to be the fellowship in the church. It was not your position to be the leader in the church. You may be a leader in the church and helping lead the church, but you're not the leader of the church. The pastor is. You are to be the fellowship. See, there's this old saying, and I think it's done us a lot of harm, when this old everything rises and falls on leadership. Everything rises and falls on leadership and fellowship. You can lead all you want. If people won't follow, you won't get the right results. There's importance about fellowship within the church. Men, you need to be in the position of fellowship in the church and be a big part of that church and be a blessing to that church and help the pastor and get behind the pastor and encourage the pastor and be with him and show your heart is with the church and with the pastor. Because God has placed the pastor in the position he's placed in. God did that. So men, be leadership in the home and fellowship in the church. Then also, be an example. Be an example in the neighborhood and workplace and where you work. Set an example of godliness in the workplace where you work. Go every day to that work saying, I'm going to be a godly example. I'm going to make a difference in somebody's life. I'm not going to be a deterrent to the things of God. I'm going to be an example for the things of God. And what I'm saying? Why? That's why God placed you there, fellow. That's why God put you there. Put you there as an example of Christ in that neighborhood. Put you an example of Christ in the workplace. So I'm challenging you, men. Be an example. Amen. Be an example. Leadership in the home. Fellowship in the church. An example in your neighborhood, in your workplace. Be that for God's sake, be that. Be an example. Why? So your children can see it. Be an example to your children. Amen. Why? So they'll grow up and be an example to someone else. Let's bow our head, close our eyes, please. Fathers, I've appealed to you today for just a very short time, encouraging you to be an example. There's examples throughout all the Bible of where men has been great examples for us. We need to take that and apply that in our own home and be an example. I'm asking you today, you say, Brother Ross, first of all, I know for sure that I am saved. If I died today, I know I would go to heaven without any shadow of a doubt. I know I would. Would you just raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. You say, Brother Ross, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure that if this was the day that God decided to take me, and maybe, though, you know for sure you're not. Maybe you know you're not saved, or maybe you're just unsure whether you are or not. Say, Brother Ross, would you pray for me? Now, remember, I'm not going to call your name out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to do any of those things. Would you just say, Brother Ross, just pray for me. I really need to get saved. I need to be right with God. Would you just raise your hand, please, and put it right back down? Just raise your hand, put it right back down. Someone, please. See, Pastor Ross, as you was preaching today about fathers, there's some areas of my life that I believe I do need to change. I need to be an example in some of the areas that you've been talking about. I need to take the leadership in the home, and I need to be in fellowship in the church. And I need to set the example in the neighborhood and at my workplace. You say, I'm not doing everything I should do there. Just raise your hand and we'll pray for you. Amen. Raise your thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Someone else, please. Thank you. Anyone else? Father, I sure do thank you today for your grace and your goodness. And I sure thank you for the fathers that's here today. And I pray for them and ask you, God, to encourage each one of their hearts and help us to be that, Lord, which you give us to do through the Word of God. Lord, put us in a position, a very important position, and I trust that you'll help us to be that. Now, Father, once again, should there be anyone here that's unsaved, they've never accepted Christ as their personal Savior, they've never been born again, God, I know your will would be that they'd be saved today. That they come to you and give their heart, their life to you and be saved. So I pray that they'll believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ this day and be born again. Now, Father, I pray for those who raised their hand and said, Pastor, we just need some areas worked on, helped. And Father, that certainly is the beginning. Just know there's things in our life that needs corrected. And I pray for them. God bless them, encourage them, and help them. In Jesus' name, amen.